Fellow students of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're young, change is good. When you get old, not so much. When you were a child and you would encounter someone you haven't seen for a long time, they will say, "My, how you have grown," and that would be good. When you're old and you encounter somebody you haven't seen for a long time, they will say, "You haven't changed a bit." And that would be good, but not true. When you meet Jesus, you'll be able to say, "You haven't changed a bit." And that would be good and true. It's here in this reading before us this morning, in the 13th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, the 8th verse reads, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And then you might think a bit oddly, in the very next verse, it says, "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines." I say oddly because you might easily wonder, why are these two thoughts right next to each other in God's Word? Jesus is the same always. Don't be carried away by false teachings. My point for you this morning is this, that this combination of thoughts is for us the deepest comfort. Note first how true the first half is. Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'll prove that by citing what at first appears to contradict that. I'll cite the greatest change that Jesus underwent, that is his incarnation. That is Jesus, who was never created, who was existing from all eternity, and it's impossible for us to comprehend, isn't it, anyone existing without a beginning from all eternity. But it's just as difficult to comprehend this fact, that this eternally existing Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, the one we confess in the Creed, who is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, and what I'm calling a great change from our human perspective, at a point in history, he became human. He put on human flesh. The term is he was incarnate, and he became a man. From our human perspective, that could be viewed as a tremendous change. But does it contradict this passage here before us? Not at all. Because in his eternal essence, this was not a change. It was merely a fulfillment. It is who he was and who he is. He did this. He entered our world. He entered our flesh. He became our human brother to rescue us from our sins. He did it because he was and is and always will be our Savior. No mere human being could live the life that God intended all of us to live, sinless, holy, and perfect. Certainly I don't, you don't, we can't. But the God-man Savior Jesus did that for us. No mere human being's life could be so precious that by laying it down it would pay for the sins of the entire world. But the Savior God-man Jesus' life was that valuable, and he did that. He laid it down. He paid the penalty on the cross for the sins of the entire world. Jesus, before the world began, was our Savior. Jesus, in his life on this earth and in his death on the cross, was our Savior. Jesus, today, coming to us in his word is our Savior. When our life comes to an end and on into eternity, he will be our Savior. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what about that next verse? Well, you and I belong to a very special club. Through our faith in this Savior, we are members of the Holy Christian Church, that entire body of believers in this Savior of all times and in all places. And when we join a club, we're concerned about its welfare. We want it to succeed, we want it to prosper, and we will do what we can to help that come about. What keeps this club, this Holy Christian Church, prospering is continuing in the strong, powerful Word of God, continuing in the teachings and in the doctrines that contain this gospel, this good news that Jesus Christ is our Savior. So the Bible writer says, don't get distracted. Don't get turned away, led astray. Don't be carried about with various and strange doctrines. This week we're remembering again the Reformation of the church, a church that had been led astray with strange doctrines, teachings that were man-made and contrary to the Word of God. Luther was convinced that in his day the devil was particularly active, raising up all the false teachings and the heretics and the fanatics and all the threats. Luther knew that against all these threats, God alone could be the defense. And so he wrote in the famous hymn, "With might of ours can naught be done, but for us fights the valiant one." Luther cited this very passage before us this morning when he wrote these words, "God help us, as he has helped our ancestors, and will also help our descendants to the praise and honor of his divine name throughout eternity. For we are, after all, not the sort of people who could sustain the church, nor were our forefathers, nor will our descendants be such. But the Lord has done it, is doing it now, and will do it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He was, he is, he will be." Yes, that is his name, and it is the name of no other man, nor should it be. That same Savior God who sustained Luther in those perilous times will sustain the church still today. And we can say the same about each one of us. The Savior who knew your name in eternity before the world was made. The Savior who paid for your sins on the cross. The Savior who washed those sins away and made you his child in your baptism. The Savior who assures us, even now, through my mouth, that your sins are forgiven. The Savior who strengthens and enables us to fight sin in our lives and to serve him by being of service to each other. The Savior who assures us that, as he says, "I will never leave you, I will never, ever forsake you." That Savior who has begun this good work in you will continue it now and on into eternity. Thanks be to this Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and always. Don't get distracted from him. Please rise for prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise you that you are our Savior from eternity, now, and to eternity. Send us an abundance of your Holy Spirit to keep us with you always. We pray it in your holy name. Amen. Continue with the hymn.